Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank God for bringing us this evening to this prayer meeting. I don't have a lot of slides, just 3 points, I guess. I'll just go ahead and first read the passage before us. I'll be reading from Job 23, verses 1 to 12. Job 23, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So this evening, we are considering this title, Finding Encouragement in the Lord. So Job, as we know, he was afflicted by the Lord, not so much for his own failings. And in this chapter, before we look into chapter 23, we shall first consider the context taken from the previous chapter in chapter 22. This was when Eliphaz, his friend, the Temanite, actually began a discourse with the assumption that God's judgment upon Job was brought about as a result of wickedness and his sinful rebellion. Here, Eliphaz postulated and accused Job of a list of sins, including the lack of charity showed towards those who are in need. How he accused Job of hiding his sins from God, and Eliphaz assumed that Job must be guilty of all these sins in view of all the afflictions that he has seen Job undergoing. So while his discourse towards the end, in the last section from verses 20 to the end of the chapter, shows that there is forgiveness with God and how those who sin and repent and turn back to God shall find forgiveness, here Eliphaz mistakenly directed it towards Job, asking him and imploring him to repent, again assuming that Job was indeed guilty of all of these sins. So as we move to chapter 23, we shall consider the passage that we have read in these 3 points. Firstly, we look at Job's plea before God. Then we look at Job's search for God. And lastly, we look at Job's confidence in God. So firstly, when Job replied or responded to Eliphaz's accusations, he first declared his sorrowful condition. And in verse 2, we read, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." He spoke as one who is very aggrieved, stating that his complaint was bitter because he felt he was greatly wronged by his friends. Instead of showing comfort and encouraging him in the Lord, they came and acted as judges of his actions and motives that they cannot see. And Job was very aggrieved because he expressed grief and reflected on God's providence. And all of these were misconstrued by his friends as being false humility, hypocrisy, and sinful denial of the previous sins that Job must have committed. So Job, as he responded to Eliphaz, he realized that he cannot count on men. And instead of turning to men to plead his cause, he turned to the judge of all the earth. And he appealed to God to hear him to hear his cause. And this is very much like a defendant appealing to the High Court judge, appealing to him because he maintains his innocence and he would rather claim trial from the judge than from mere men. So we see Job appealed because he was very sure that in his testimony, in the testimony of his own conscience concerning his life and conduct, that he was very clear that he was not a hypocrite. He did not hide his sins from God. He lived in a way that would please the Lord. And none of these calamities and judgments that he has befallen him were really due to his sins. So like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, Job did not think too much to be judged by men because he was more concerned to be judged by God. So I shall read 1 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4 for us. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judge of you, of all of men's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. So like Paul, Job was not content to be judged and pass judgment by his friends. He would be more concerned how God saw him. And this is not born out of arrogance or out of self-presumption, but it's because of him searching his heart, considering his ways, knowing how he has been living a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. So next, in the subsequent verses, we read of how Job started to search for God to plead his cause, because he was sure that only God can give him a just and fair trial. So in verse 3, he exclaimed, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." So here we see Job's desire and yearning to appear before God at his mercy seat and at his throne of grace. And he showed such persistence and such desire, just like the importunate widow that we read of in Luke chapter 18. This is so because he trusted that God would hear his cause. In verse 4, he said, "I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments." He knew that this righteous and just God would allow him to defend himself. And as a believer and child of God, he would be able to speak concerning the whole matter and lay all his grievances before the Lord. Job would argue his case. He would make his defense with arguments about the sincerity that he has shown, the devotion that he has shown towards God, and that he has really searched his heart to know that his motives were right. So as such, you know, in order to claim trial before the Almighty God, it is no small thing, and we could be quite certain that Job would not base his arguments just because of his own estimation of his own righteousness. He would not dare to come presumptuously before the King of all the earth. Rather, Job was confident to go before God with his arguments, and I would like to surmise that he would have arguments that were based on God's loving promises, his covenant, and that Job will bring forth these arguments to defend God's glory. In verse 5, Job said this, "I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." Here Job said that he would already know the words that God would say to him, and he was ready to receive this word. And this expectation that Job had of what God would say to him was not a confidence that he placed upon himself just because of his own estimation or his own review of his own conduct. It was something that was based on his confidence in the Lord, knowing that God will vindicate him, as opposed to what his friends did when they indicted him. So in verse 6, he said, "Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me." So Job was very sure that God will not turn against him and deal with him high-handedly because of his great power. Instead, he was confident that God, who knows him, would empower him to plead his own cause and would allow him to reason before him. So Job was very confident that God would deal favorably with him and that he would be delivered from his judgments compared to the harsh judgments that he has received from his friends. And all this confidence was not because of what he did, but because he knew that the God who has saved him, the God who has called him, the God who is his heavenly Father, will be the same God who will vindicate him. And verse 7, we read that there the righteous man might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. And here we see how, indeed, if we are righteous before God, then there's no reason for God to judge us. And, you know, we who are believers, we who are children of God, could have this confidence, yeah, because the Lord Jesus has purchased our redemption as well, that we can now go before him, before his throne of grace, to find grace to help in time of need. But did Job find God? In verses 8 and 9, we see how he continued to search for the Lord as one that seems to be at a loss, seems to be at a wit's end, seems to be in a hurry to seek the judge so that he might be vindicated. And he couldn't understand why the Lord seemed to be so elusive. In verse 8, he says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." So did not God promise that he will be found of us if we were to seek him and search for him with all our hearts, as he said this in Jeremiah 29? Then why is it that Job, who went diligently to seek God in all directions, yet Job couldn't find him? You know, brothers and sisters, in verse 10, we see this little word, but. But was so well positioned in this passage. Here we see Job seeking to plead his cause before the judge, searching high and low for an audience with the king, and yet he cannot find him. And in verse 10, we see a change in Job's perspective. So but is well positioned because it's a conjunction that shows the contrast from what we have read so far. So verse 10 reads, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So here we read how Job, though he did not understand why the providence of God, the manifold counsels that were provided to him by his friends, and why God was not found despite his diligent search for him. And though he experienced all of these, yet Job was okay, right? Why was Job okay? Because Job had confidence in the Lord instead of confidence in his own efforts to make sense of all the things that have befallen him. He trusted that God knows the way that he takes. And he trusted that God's ways are higher than his ways. God's thoughts are higher than his thoughts. And he knows that God's thoughts toward him are not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of peace. And he knows that God, as his heavenly Father, really has gentle, gracious thoughts toward his own. And here Job realized what was more important. He realized that God was well acquainted with all his ways, as we read also in Psalm 139 verse 3, and he knows the way of the righteous, Psalm 1 verse 6. So Job knew that God is well aware of every step that he takes. And what were these steps that he took? And we can see this in the verses 11 and 12, how Job's feet continued to be steadfast. "My foot has held his steps. His ways have I kept and not declined." So Job knew that he stood steadfast in the faith. He kept the ways of the Lord and he has not moved. In verse 12, he said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And Job knew that he has continued to obey God's commandments, and he continues to esteem the word of God even more important than food that would sustain him. So then our Lord Jesus says, you know, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So here, Job was very well aware that he did his best, as humanly possible, and that he knows that in all his devotion to God, God knows all that he has done. So there must be a reason and a purpose why God had put him through these fiery trials. And verse 10, it says, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So I'd like to suggest to us that there were potentially three reasons or three purposes why God put Job through all these fiery trials. Firstly, this was really to purify and to reveal Job's true self, where he cannot be masked, as what his friends perceive him to be. His friends perceived him to be hiding his sins, living a hypocritical life, and denying that he actually sinned against God. But is this possible when we are put through the fiery furnace by God? 1 Corinthians 3:13, it reads, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So if we are put through the fire, now what the fire would do is to really burn up the dross of sin and all the impure aspects of our lives. And it shall reveal what is the true self. And those of us who are able to survive this fiery furnace, then we'll be able to see that we have survived it because of what the Lord has done and what the Lord has done for us in salvation. So firstly, I like to surmise that the first purpose why Job was put through these fiery trials was so that he can really search himself to know his true self without any sin of self-deception or hypocrisy. Secondly, I like to think that by putting Job through these fiery trials, it's really to work patience in Job. In James 1:3, we read that the trying of our faith worketh patience. And here, God wasn't found of Job as Job diligently sought after him. And this was really to work patience in Job as he waited upon the Lord, as he sought the Lord for his vindication. So likewise, when we look at ourselves, are there times that we are also wronged by people around us? It could be people at work, at home, and actually sometimes the people that we love may misunderstand us, right? Will we also have the same patience as Job has, knowing that God will vindicate in his time? Thirdly, I'd like to think that God put Job through this fiery trial of his faith to glorify himself and the Lord Jesus. In 1 Peter 1:7, we read that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, are there many times that we misunderstood? How do we respond to this? Do we wallow in despair, or do we go to the Lord in prayer? Do we sometimes feel very boxed in by our circumstances? When we look to the front or to the back, to the sides, that we don't seem to find a way out. Do we look upwards towards the Lord, trusting that he knows best, that he knows the way that we take, just as Job did? So as we conclude and as we reflect on the passage that we have read, are we able to plead our cause before God when we are wronged, just like Job? Do we have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men that we can dare to go to God? I'd like to suggest that we can, because Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, has paid it all. And we can now go to him with confidence, with boldness, because of the righteousness of Christ. Do we seek God diligently with similar fervor, trusting that he will be found of us, even though we may not sense his presence? Can we be like Job, to be importunate, knowing that the Lord will reveal himself to us in his time? Can we have the confidence in God to know that whatever circumstances or trials that he's put us in, that he has put us through all these for a purpose. So if we can, then blessed are we. You know, we will be like Job, that as we navigate through these trials in life, that we can find this encouragement in God. So do not know what we are going through. Some of us may be going through certain trials and difficulties and challenges in life. Let us also take heed from our psalmist, right? And the psalmist says, you know, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Okay, so may our hope continue to rest in God, for it's only in him that we can find encouragement. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee for thy word. We want to thank thee for the example, even in thy servant Job. How though he was wronged by people around him, yet he put his complete trust and confidence in thee. We pray, Lord, that we may likewise do this, to seek thee first, to know that all these things happen not by chance, but because of thy divine providence for our sanctification, that thou mayest purify us and cause us to walk righteously even in this world. So Lord, we pray that you will encourage us with thy word and minister to us this night as we come before thee in prayer. For we ask and pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.